We're just going to take a look at a simple passage of Scripture. Very straightforward. Mainly just looking at other verses related to it. A passage that's very familiar to us. And last week we talked about your Bible. And maybe as we look at some of the things in here, it'll help us illustrate some things and sometimes helps that you can use. And sometimes helps that aren't so much help. And just to have those in mind. In John 3, we read, beginning with verse 1. Let me see how far I was planning on going with this. And I'll go through verse 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and now hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whither whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Interesting passage. Very, I think, misunderstood, misapplied, misused for whatever reasons. But the Lord has a visit by a very religious man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees were the most respected religious sect of the day. They were the most outwardly righteous of the day. And before the eyes of men, generally they lived lives that would appear to be sinless. Certainly they weren't. But no one could outwardly accuse them, or at least that was their goal. These were men that were full of religious pride. Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling Jews of the day. He was a teacher, the Lord explains. And if being good, if outwardly keeping the law, if observing the rites and rituals of religion would get one into heaven, then the Pharisees were on their way. I kind of look at it akin to at least what they profess to teach is the modern masonry. They're going to make you a good man. That's not good enough. And they can't make you a good man. But outwardly, they profess all these deeds, all these actions. In fact, elsewhere in Scripture, the Lord says this, and would have been shocking to the people who heard it. In Matthew 5 and verse 20, he said, "For I say unto you, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." They were the most righteous people of the day. They were the ones who outwardly most adhered to the law and the commandments. The Lord talked about those that inwardly are full of dead men's bones, or like sepulchers. But outwardly, they were good people. We all know folks that live good lives, that live externally, humanistically, but that's not enough. There's dead man's bones in there. And when the Lord said, "Except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees," he said that because his hearers would have think, well, there's no one that lives a life better than the Pharisees. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him." Nicodemus was curious. Nicodemus was also careful. He comes to Jesus at night, lest someone thinks that he's identifying with him or approving of him. He wants to avoid detection. He doesn't want to be seen as endorsing Christ. But it doesn't say that outwardly. In fact, he comes to him very solicitous. And he says, "Rabbi." You know, the name, the honored name given to a teacher. A teacher that speaks with authority. He comes at night, but he says, "Rabbi." And he says, "We know." Well, he was a leader of the Pharisees. He was a teacher. I mean, he can speak on the behalf of the Pharisees as well, but they really didn't understand. They didn't understand what this was about and who Jesus was, and the Lord wasn't going to have any of it. As he's kind of buttering up the Lord just turns to him and bluntly says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee." You know, he said, we know that. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." We've talked about this before. In your King James Bible, when you see a "thee," that's singular. You know, the Greek language has singular and plural articles, and applies to verbs and so forth. But he says, we just use you today, right? All your modern Bibles will just say you. And that could mean one or two. The Lord says thee. He's looking straight in Nicodemus' eyes. Nicodemus says, oh, we know that you are. And the Lord says, I'm saying unto you. I'm saying unto thee. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, you can have flowery language and you can say nice things. Nicodemus must see his utterly lost condition. And he can't because he's dead. And except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom. Not only can he not enter it, he can't see it. He can't perceive it. Nicodemus, no doubt, considered himself an elect candidate for the kingdom because he was a Jew of the Jews. He was a member of the Pharisees. Paul talked about his attitude before the Lord saved him. You know, I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Jew of the Jews. That wasn't enough. The Lord says, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, the natural man cannot see the kingdom of God. He's dead. He doesn't have the proper receptors. And I've talked about this before. It's like this room is full of radio waves. Can you hear them? No. Now, if I take a radio and turn it on here, we can hear it. And it's from the radio waves that are in the room. But you can't hear them because you don't have the receptors. And so it is with the natural man. He can't see, he can't perceive the kingdom of God because he's dead. He doesn't have the proper receptors. The Lord says, I mean, Paul says, the Lord says, whenever you read it in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, the unregenerate man, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He's incapable of knowing them because they are spiritually discerned. He's spiritually dead. He can't discern those things. He can't see those things. He can't hear those things. He can't know those things. But he that is spiritual, verse 15, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. A natural man is dead. He can't receive. And Nicodemus, for all his religious credentials, was a natural man. Oh, he had the externals, but he hadn't perceived the kingdom. I think the scriptures indicate as you go on, spoiler alert, I think the Lord saves Nicodemus, but not yet. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. We talk about the expression of the quicken the dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead, not sick, not injured. Dead. It takes a miracle. Someone can nurse a sick man back to health. I think Diane did that with me when I had my little bout with COVID or what. You can nurse a sick man back to health. You can, you know, put a boo-boo on his arm if he's injured. But you can't make a dead man alive. And you have he quickened, have he made alive, who were dead and trespasses and sins. Well, most of the religious world says, yeah, it says that, but it doesn't mean that. Yeah, in the context of the rest of Scripture, I'm sure that it means that. You're dead. It's like, well, you know, if that dead man will take the first step, God will do the rest. Well, you forgot the first part. He's a dead man. And you let it quicken and we're dead in trespasses and sin. Even when we are dead in sins, hath he quickened us. Verse 5, skipping down to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. We were dead in sins, and he's quickened us. He's made us alive in Christ. The dead man cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot perceive it. He certainly cannot enter it. And then Nicodemus looks to the Lord, and he says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Well, Nicodemus is demonstrating. He doesn't perceive these things. He doesn't understand. He's supposed to be a leader. He's supposed to be a teacher. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, that's all Nicodemus can think of. Nicodemus shows his great ignorance of things spiritual. Later on, we'll see the Lord admonishes him about that as well. Says, you're a teacher of the Jews, and you don't understand these things? Kind of like that saying I got up on my wall from that old black preacher. Trying to teach something you ain't never learned is like trying to come back from someplace you ain't never been. And that's a lot of the religious realm is today. You know, they're trying to teach things they've never learned. And Nicodemus was a teacher. The Lord's using this illustration, this fact, of the spiritual birth and the natural birth, the two births, to show man has no more part in his second birth than he had in his first. You did nothing. You didn't birth yourself. You didn't born yourself. You took no active part. That's sometimes in the religious realm we talk about monergism. And synergism. Monergism, God does it. Synergism is we cooperate with God to get it done. And that's speaking specifically of salvation. Man has no more part in the second birth than he did the first. And the Lord looks at him, Nicodemus is like, how can a man be born when he's old? In verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, say unto thee, not you, thee. I say unto thee, looking at Nicodemus in the eye, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This passage, like some other passages within here, is greatly misused and applied. See, a man's got to be baptized. And the problem is, and we were talking about Bibles with cross-references, and they're useful. But whoever made those cross-references said, well, this verse is speaking of something over here. Well, it may not. It may be speaking of something someplace else. And you need to be careful, folks. It, like this particular verse in my Bible, and most probably. And let me see where it's here, and I got cross references. Maybe not the same exactly. Except a man be born again He cannot, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Well, then if I go over here to the cross references, D, it's got a list of four. And all four of those refer to water baptism. The first one that's here is Mark 16:16, and that verse is very often taken out of context to try to teach baptismal regeneration of all things. Well, these verses are all true. They're all God's Word. But are they really explaining what the Lord's saying here? And you can go look at them. They all speak of baptism. And in Mark 16 says, you know, he that's baptized, believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not shall be condemned. So you see, well, it's almost like the argument with the Second Amendment in some ways. But it's what condemns is not even the not believing. He's already condemned. It demonstrates that he's condemned, that he's not one of the Lord's elect. And when the Lord here speaks of belief, again, it is descriptive of those who are the elect, those who are brought to Christ. And I'm not going to expound on Mark 16 today. We can do that some other time if you want. But if you look, again, every one of those verses speak of water baptism. I'm a Baptist. I believe in water baptism. I don't believe in rantism, sprinkling. I don't believe in pouring. The very word baptism, baptizo, means to dip, to immerse. That word means that in Greek. Baptism is just a transliteration of the Greek word, baptizo. And most of the honest lexicographers and those who do thesauruses and dictionaries and whatever, and they'll tell you what that's what baptism means. Now, they may go on because of the way it's been perverted of recent times to try to explain it away with other things, but baptism means to dip, to immerse, to plunge. And even when it's used in a figurative sense in Scripture, it's always of something like that. There's only one literal baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I believe that verse is speaking of water baptism, not some ethereal, universal, invisible church thing. We can talk about that sometime too. But anyway, I've always wanted to have something like that, either on the wall behind me or on my pulpit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Because I look at, sometimes I'll see in the paper, there'll be an ad, and it'll say, an all faiths revival. What does that even mean? There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. Okay, I got off topic a little bit. But I kind of was thinking of this passage when we were talking about your Bibles. And you can trust your King James Bible. You can't trust infallibly what's red and black. And we'll talk about that later on. Because some man decided to do that. But when God inspired John to write these things, it was the very breath of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, which literally means is God breathed. John wrote what God had already determined. Not how John understood some idea that God gave him. That's how the liberals, some of the cemeteries I went to, believed. And so, of course, maybe the guy got it wrong. But no. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord's talking here about the second birth, right? He's talking, man must be born again. Right? He's telling Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus says, can I go back to my mom's womb? The Lord said, no. You don't understand, Nicodemus. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. in the natural birth is very much associated with water. You talk about a woman's water breaks. And sometimes it pretty much, you know, go all over it. There's water associated with it. Sometimes some blood too, but that's not the point here. We're talking about water. Except a man be born again. Well, he says you've got to be born again, Nicodemus. Well, you have to be born the first time to be born again. And so the Lord's saying to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water, the natural birth, and of the Spirit, the spiritual birth, the second birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You say, well, but what makes you think that? Well, maybe the very next words the Lord said. In verse 6, the Lord says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You're born of flesh, you're born of spirit. The Lord above said, that which is a man must be born of water and of the Spirit. Oh, people argue 300 ways around that, but that's what I believe that verse says. I think it's pretty clear. So, when your references speak of water baptism, those are good verses. But that's not what the Lord's talking about here. In fact, later on, I won't have time to get into all of it today, but I get a little bit ahead. Later on, the Lord, again, admonishes Nicodemus. He says, you're a teacher of the Jews? And you didn't know these things? Well, water baptism came with John. The Old Testament doesn't speak of water baptism. There was some spiritual washings of some of the various sects within Judaism. And when one would convert to Judaism. But there was no baptisms. Baptism was initiated by John at the command of God. It's an important thing. But it's not your salvation. The Lord founded a new institution, His church. And baptism was how one symbolized his entry into that church. And when I say that church, I mean the local visible body. That's the only church that I can find in Scripture. Not some universal invisible thing. But local, visible. But baptism wasn't in the Old Testament. How is the Lord admonishing Nicodemus for not knowing those things when that wasn't part of his what he knew, what he could have known? John the Baptist had a very special ministry. You can read again in the book of John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Oh, the liberals want to tell me, yeah, you know what? Baptism developed, evolved from these washings of the Essenes or some of these other washings, these ritual washings. And that's baptism came from that and developed from that. Well, I'd rather believe the Bible. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And then later on, John says, he who sent me to baptize with water. John didn't say, I kind of developed what was already here from what the Essenes were doing. And no. It was an altogether new thing. And it had to do with John preparing a people for the Lord from which he would form his church. Because you can't have a church except from scripturally baptized believers. And so John prepared a people for the Lord. They were believers. They were scripturally baptized. But the Lord came and formed them into a church. He called out his disciples. John had that special mission of baptizing. John himself was never baptized. The Lord came and submitted to John's baptism. And John said, I have needs to be baptized of thee. The Lord says, basically, don't worry about that, John. John had a special mission. He was a friend to the bridegroom, we read. But he was not in the bride. That was God's doing, God's dealings. John was a very special person. Of those born of men, there was none greater than the Lord. But if this had to do with baptism, if that's what the Lord's talking about here, how could the Lord admonish Nicodemus with not knowing these things because he's a teacher of the Jews? No, that doesn't make any sense. And it's contrary. But the Lord quite clearly explains it here, except a man be born of water, the natural birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to be born the first time, obviously. And yet Nicodemus showed he was confused about it. And you must be born the second time, of the water and of the Spirit. And again, it's clear when I look down at verse 6, where the Lord says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's a contrast here. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things you would. The flesh and the Spirit are contrasts. The natural birth, the second birth. For they that, Romans 8, Paul writes, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Us who have received the Spirit, been born again. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Lord says, a man must be born again. You're not talking about somebody getting wet. I don't mean that as the spiritual of true baptism, but all these other religions, they teach basically getting wet. And getting wet will get you to heaven. It's not what it's about. Not what it's about. Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. It's the blood of Christ. It's not water, not magic water. Again, scriptures use the illustration of water and washing of what the Spirit does, but that's not what's accomplished by water. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So, the Lord here contrasts the natural birth and the spiritual birth. He admonishes Nicodemus that he didn't understand the need for the spiritual birth. Brother, there's only been one way of salvation. All the saints in the Old Testament were born again. They were born again by faith in God's promise of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. Scriptures tell us, as we've been reading, been studying Galatians back when, we'll get back there someday. Lord said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it. Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. God reveals these things. Not all the details, perhaps, that we know, but he reveals these things. He quickens his saints. There'd have been no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ, being born again of the Spirit of God. And the Old Testament makes those things maybe not as abundantly clear as we think they might be in the New Testament. It makes those things clear. These folks were born again by the Spirit of God, or else they weren't His. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then the Lord says this, again, to Nicodemus in verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now here the Lord switches to the plural. All y'all need to be born again. You and all your buds. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I just can imagine here in my mind, here's this great spiritual leader, this teacher of the Jews, and he's befuddled. The Lord looks at him and he can see. It's almost like Nicodemus is sitting there with his mouth wide open. The Lord says, marvel not. Don't be surprised that I said unto thee, he says it to him, but he says, all y'all need it, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You know the book when the Lord's speaking of things that Nicodemus can't understand, that he can't comprehend. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Those who would enter the kingdom of God, because now the Lord spoke about entering the kingdom, those that enter the kingdom of God must be born again. They can't do it. They can't initiate it. They don't decide to be born again. And then the Lord goes on, and I'll kind of wrap it up here. We won't finish this up next week because we've got Memorial Day, but maybe the week after. The Lord says to Nicodemus, who's like, how do you do this stuff? The Lord says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now, the wind goes as it desires, or as God desires, but the wind goeth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's like the wind. You don't control that. It's not something you decide. You're not born of your decision. You're born of the Spirit. And interesting enough, in the Greek, that word pneuma is for spirit and can also be used to wind. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. God's election is sovereign. It's by the Spirit. And we'll get eventually some of the verses that people try to take out of context and make. And really, they're making stuff that's not even there. When they use John 3:16 to try to get everybody to make a decision. I've got a whole book up here. How to be born again. Well, and then folks will go over here to John 3. But the Lord doesn't ever tell Nicodemus how to be born again. He just tells you, you have to be. And he says it's by the Spirit. And yet you can read this whole book of 100 and some pages by a great evangelist, at least in the world's reckoning, Billy Graham, how to be born again. He made a living on that. (Clears throat) God's election sovereign. John 1, verse 13. A couple verses and we'll wrap it up for today. John 1, verse 13 says, which were born not of blood. Well, Nicodemus was a good Jew. He was a Pharisee. He had the right bloodlines. John says, nope, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not because you decided, not of the will of man, not because your mama or papa or some priest decided, but of God. John 5, verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, makes them alive, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. How to be born again? The Son quickeneth whom he will. Romans 9, Paul explains, verse 18, therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy. And whom he will, he hardeneth. Oh, people hate Romans 9. Well, most churches, you'll never hear anybody preach on Romans 9. We preach through Romans and refer to it frequently as well. But he has mercy on whom he'll have mercy. He hardens whom he will. Folks say, well, that's not fair. Yeah, you want fair? Yeah. You'll be in hell. That's what's fair. That's what you deserve. That's where you belong. But until the Lord brings us to see that in our need, makes us sensible sinners, man, don't, it's foolishness to man. It's not making sense. In John 4:4, I can't remember exactly how I said it, but he said it, but I read something this week. It may even be in the paper or whatever, but it was a quote from Spurgeon. And he talked about how this verse is pretty much the summary of theology, if you will. And not that you don't need everything else, but John 6 and verse 44. No man cometh unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. No man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. And then in conjunction with that, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh I will no wise cast out. This is God. We can trust God. He works his will. But I'll say, as the Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's the work of the Spirit. We proclaim the truth, and the Lord will use that, but it's the work of the Spirit. Okay. A couple things pointed out there today, and maybe a few more. The next time, maybe we can finish this up in a couple weeks. We'll take our hymnals, turn to page number 31. I love him. And if you like, you can stand as we sing this out. Now, this is one by the words from an old English hymn, and it's to Stephen Foster's Old Black Joe, if you know that tune, which I guess that's not politically correct either, but
upon the plains of sin, once was a slave. doubts and fears within. Once was afraid to trust a loving God, but now my guilt is washed away in Jesus' blood. I love Him, I love Him, because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once I was dead, but now in Christ I live, to tell the world of peace that He alone can give. I love Him, I love Him, because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Father, we thank You for this day and privilege to gather as Your people. Pray You be with our brother Hal as he makes his way home. Lord, we thank You for each one that's here. Pray You go with us this week and that You might use us to Your glory. We thank You, Lord, as Jonah said, that salvation is of the Lord. Lord, we thank You that our salvation is dependent solely and completely upon Thee. Father, if it was dependent upon us, surely we would mess it up. We would fail. We would falter. But if our Lord does it, it is finished. Father, what a comfort to Your people. These things may be troubling to some folks, but Lord, for those that You've called by Your grace, it becomes a matter of great peace. And Lord, not because of anything in us, but because of Thee. Thank You for our Savior. Thank You for His completed atonement. Lord, thank You for the work of the Spirit, for the quickening, for the granting of repentance and faith, for the drawing unto Thee. And we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.